Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I have the word to offer you.
Yes, you have the world to hold till the day when God declares time on earth shall be no more. Fire and brimstone shall rain down and melt it like the snow. What will you have to offer then to a dying soul?
Think of all you're giving up.
I'm giving up the chance to die, spend eternity in hell, burning in a lake of fire. I thank God he's made a way that I might escape. By the living grace of God, I shall see his face.
But you don't sin, you're good enough.
There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
But what about the friends you lose?
There may be some that don't agree. They may say that I'm a fool, but they don't have to stand for me. Jesus said he'd be my friend and he'd walk with me, and he'd never leave my side throughout eternity.
But life will be too dull for you.
Everything you've offered me don't mean nothing to my heart, for from sin I've been set free. Praise the Lord, I'm going home ever to rejoice. Take this world and get behind. I have found peace of mind. Everlasting joy is mine. Jesus is my choice.
Over the last few programs, I have been teaching on the subject of religion. The religious person will spend his whole lifetime trying to please God through laws, rules, and regulation, and in the end, he will stand before God and will be condemned because he brought a false sacrifice to the altar, just like Cain did in the book of Genesis. And we have to be aware of that, regardless how good our religion looks. If Jesus Christ is not the center of that religion, if Jesus Christ and the way of salvation that he has provided for us is not the center of your religious ideologies, then you need to start seeking the Lord through Scripture, because you are in dire danger. There is a terrible punishment waiting for those who reject the word of God and seek the teachings of their forefathers instead. Many people have been led astray by the teaching of the forefathers. When you study different religions of Africa and of different parts of the world, you can see ancestor worship. They are worshiping the ideas of their ancestors. And after a while, they start worshiping the ancestors. And then throughout the generations, it's the forefathers that get the honor before God. And I have seen that and I have heard that. Even in the religion that I grew up in, it was the forefathers that made the way for us, not the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful of that. Even though it looks respectful and holy to respect your forefathers like that, be careful. The forefathers that you honor so much could be the very trap that Satan has set up for you. Many religious people don't see that trap. They believe that honoring their forefathers in that way is truly honoring God. Thus, this could be the very trap that Satan has set up for your damnation. So today I will again preach on the simplicity of the message of salvation that God offers to humanity. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open our hearts to your truth so that we can understand and convey this message to as many as we possibly can. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you'll open the ears of the listeners, open their hearts, and help them to understand the truth of the salvation of God. I thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies the Old Testament, we can see very clearly how rigid God was when it came to honoring him and worshiping him. You could not stray away. The children of Israel got away with a lot of strange things. They fell into a lot of sin. But when they started to worship other gods, then God would send in the enemy that would cause them a lot of problems, a lot of heartaches. Many were taken from their homes. Many were dispersed in different lands because they refused to heed the voice of God and not turn to other gods. When I study the Old Testament, I marvel at the things that the saints of God or the patriarchs of God get away with. Look at the story of King David. Let's take him for an example. He did the strangest, most horrifying things in his life that you can read of. To my opinion, he was even worse than King Saul in his actions. The only difference was King Saul turned away from God, whereas King David clung to him. And in the end, the Lord said that King David was a man after seeking after his own heart. King David was always repenting and turning back to the God that he had strayed away from. In Psalms chapter 39 in verse 4, it tells us, King David is saying this here, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. This is what King David understood. He knew that he was on this planet for just a short period of time. He said, my days are as a handbreadth. And the best of my days is nothing but vanity. When he was at his best, it didn't come close to what God was. It was vanity in the eyes of God. And when I study these things, I am looking at the human being of today. The vanity that many, many human beings and many Christians are into. They do not regard that their life could be over in a split second. The Bible very clearly teaches us that we are on this planet for one reason, and that is to worship God with all our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When I studied this, what does it mean? How can we benefit by loving our neighbors? When we love our neighbors, we will lead them to the Lord. We will show them the way of salvation so that they can enter into eternal life. For what does it help you to love your neighbor if he's going to go to hell? Your love is going to be useless to him in the end. So we need to understand what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves. First, we make sure that we enter into the kingdom of God, and then we show our neighbors our love by telling him about the judgment that is to come and about the way of salvation that God has offered to them that turn to him. I have been teaching on the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was a very good man. He honored God, and God even sent an angel to congratulate him about his godly life, his almsgiving, and his charities. But he said, Cornelius, this is not good enough. You need to do something to enter into the kingdom of God. Go and find Simon Peter, and he will come and tell you what you have to do to enter into the kingdom. Now, Cornelius could have said, sorry, I am good enough. The Lord God even congratulated me on my godliness. I don't need all of that. But he didn't. He sent for Simon Peter, and Simon Peter told him about the way of salvation. He told him there is no other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved except for Jesus. He told Cornelius everything that he had witnessed. And then he said to Cornelius, it's not only that, it's the prophets that speak of this Jesus who should come, through which we will receive eternal life. And then Cornelius turned to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And the Bible teaches that he and his whole household turned to God and were saved. So I know I am talking to a lot of religious people today who are into ancestor worship, who are, oh yes, you may not kneel down to them, but you honor their teachings above the teachings of the Bible, and that is idolatry in the eyes of God. You need to turn to the Word of God and seek salvation by the Word of God and not some book that your forefathers has left you, because the Word of God has been kept pure and holy throughout the ages, whereas the teachings of your forefathers have been intermingled with deception. Oh yes, they can be so very slyly slipped in there by Satan himself. And I have read it and I have seen it. We need to make sure that the way of salvation stays pure and simple by itself. The Bible teaches us in Psalm chapter 40, King David again speaking in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So King David tells his God here, I delight to do thy will. I have preached righteousness to the great congregation. I have not concealed your loving kindness within my own heart. I have brought it out to as many as would listen. He brought it out to the great congregation. That means he preached it to the world. Where does that leave you? You may know the Lord Jesus Christ, but what are you doing with that revelation? Are you telling your loved ones about it? Are you living a godly life so that God can use you in this ministry? Oh yes, King David made a lot of error, and he brought a lot of sadness and tears to his own household. And we can learn from his mistakes and sidestep these things that David did. And we can live a holy, godly life so God can use us to redeem our own family. King David lost a precious son that he knew was not going to be in heaven with him. How about you? Are your children going astray because for some reason you're not serious with the God that saved you? If that's the case, you're going to be responsible for the children that you love so much. So turn to the Lord. I mean, look for him. Seek his face continually. Find out on how to hear his voice so that you can pray for your loved ones and bring them into the kingdom. Regardless how far they have gone away from God, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 14, it tells us, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That covers your children. Not only will your land be healed, your children will turn to the God that you serve. So, dear precious saints, let's not look at the world and point the finger at them. The Lord gives us the formula here. If we will humble ourselves, if we will turn to God and seek his face, then he will answer our prayers. And if we ask for whosoever, that person will have to submit to the Lord. This is what the promise of God is. So if we give our God our hearts and lives today, then God will definitely see that he will keep his end of the bargain. And for those of you who don't know Jesus, there is only a short time left. Jesus is about to come back for his bride. The things that we're hearing of what's going on all over the world, they are causing people's hearts to fill them from fear, just like it was predicted in the Word of God. Jesus will come back for a bride that is waiting for him. He teaches us, "Those that look for my appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. And because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come to try them that dwell on the earth." So turn to the Lord today. Give him your heart and your life, and you will rejoice throughout eternity. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
And watched the rippling of the waves.
Over the years, I have been asked by people what my thought is on worshiping on the Sabbath day. That would be Saturday, the last day of the week. When you study the Old Testament, we know the Jewish people were told to keep the Sabbath day. But something changed when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The Christians started to worship God on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. And for me, it was pretty easy to figure out why they would do that, because it is in celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They honored that day when he rose from the dead, the first day of the week. But this has brought quite a bit of controversy amongst a few of God's children. There are those who insist that we should still worship on the Sabbath, which would be the last day of the week. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." So he is telling us we should not judge one another by these issues. It doesn't really matter which day you celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick a day and do it. The most convenient there is, to my opinion. I used to be a truck driver, and when I would come home from a trip, whether it was Wednesday or Saturday, I would take time out for that day to relax and to worship the Lord and to have fellowship with believers. So that day, in a lot of cases, turned out to be my day of rest where I worship the Lord. But there is another point I want to make here. In the Old Testament, the commandment was given that we should tithe, that God's people should tithe, and they would give their first fruits. The first fruits of whatever their increase is, they give the 10% of that. So the first 10% went to the Lord. They brought it into the house of God. And the Bible teaches if the root is holy, then the branches are holy. So I want to clarify something here. If you gave your first 10% to the Lord, that is a holy offering unto the Lord God. And then the rest of the money that you use for yourself will also bring forth holiness. You will use it respectfully, and you will honor God with it because of the natural process that happens when you give the Lord God your first fruits. So you give God the first fruits, and then guess what happens? The rest will bring forth, will bring glory to God. And somehow I feel this is exactly what happens when we worship and give God the first day of the week. Instead of just working around the clock or around the year, we take that first day of the week as an offering to God, the first fruit of the week. We spend it in fellowship. We spend it in resting. We honor God on that day. And then the rest of the week will have God's honor on it. This is a natural process that happens in the kingdom of God. So this should clarify something when there is an argument or a debate about keeping the Sabbath day. What do you give God? Your first fruits or your last? Do you want to give God the last day of the week, or do you want to give God the first day of the week? My choice is the first day of the week, and I believe it makes logical sense when you think of how the kingdom of God works. So think about these things. Don't argue about it because it's useless. Not new. This will not change anybody's mind about the Sabbath or worshiping on Sunday. Relax, enjoy the fellowship that you have, and make sure that you are truly born again in that worship. Because without the new Spirit of God in you, without being a new creation, without being sealed unto the day of redemption, regardless what day you use for worship, it's not going to help you anything anyway. So give God your heart and give Him the glory, and He will be glorified throughout eternity if we do that. So the Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.